Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We will always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who has also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may have live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins.
Well, 2023 is here. I made the mistake this morning of welcoming Dennis into 2013, and I know a few of you think I'm a bit slow, and that really confirmed it. Dennis was very gracious to me and just let it pass, but I just wondered at the beginning of this year, 2023, whether I might just share something with you that you would choose to hold on to as this year unfolds. And we've already looked just briefly at the very beginning at John chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17 in particular, and I was just wanting to lay some things out for you that you can hold on to throughout this year. There's many places in the Word of God that you could go to, and I encourage you to do that, and you don't just have to stay where I've begun this year. In fact, to begin where we did and finish where we did is okay, but it would be better for us to go on and even to read from verse 15 onwards. But I'm going to let you do that at home, and I pray that you do, because it speaks of just how great Jesus is. But I just want to just stay with a few points in the limited time that we've got. I think there'll be many of you here today that truly know what it is. You'd know the truth that God has so loved you that he sent his Son. And that you wouldn't be stuck in your sin, and that you wouldn't perish because you would stay separate from God's grace, but that you would believe in this, the gift of Jesus. We've still got the Christmas banners up. You would believe this gift that God has sent, this thing that heaven invested so completely and so heavily and so tremendously and so dearly in sending Christ. This perfect person, the Son of God. And not only to walk and to live and to be amongst us, Emmanuel, God with us, but to do the unthinkable, to know that he would die for us, the innocent for the guilty. And that we don't have to maneuver and use whatever, what sort of mathematics was that?
Economics.
We don't have to do all sorts of clever maneuvering, which ends up pretty hollow, to make things work in our life. But we see God has done something astounding in giving his best.
Hallelujah.
And so if we look here in Colossians, we see a person probably not unlike kind of John Newton's track record. The Apostle Paul's track record wasn't one of being just a great guy. He was a guy that had his own sense of mission in life, and And these people that were talking about Jesus and eroding what he thought was right and true and what he'd based his life and what he had excelled in, he had the authority and the power to wipe these people out, and he set to do that until he personally encountered Jesus. And Jesus says to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And all the time he's got the opportunity to be actually really coming to know who Jesus is, because he's got a fair bit of close contact with Christians who he's choosing to persecute. And so the Holy Spirit is there just prompting me along, and it comes to a point of confrontation. Comes to this massive wake-up call in his life on the road to Damascus. And here, years down the track, he's now a person fully convinced of who Jesus is and what he's done, and now says, "Everything I did before, everything I had excelled in before, everything that I was so wonderfully established in, I'd reached the top of, you know, none of my peers could be where I was at." He said, "Everything I achieved I count as rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of now knowing Jesus and knowing this grace." And so he says to the people, his community, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father." And we always thank God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ. So he proclaims Jesus. And he knew of God's grace to him. I've got to ask you, as you step into 2023, do you know God's grace to you? Do you know that God would lavish his grace upon you with all wisdom and understanding? He knows exactly where you need grace in your life. God's grace is amazing. It's tremendous. And so as we look at this passage, and as we, if we were to read that again, you could mark off thing after thing that God has done. And this morning, as I just went over my notes, this is a relatively new Bible, and I've thought, I won't mark my new Bible. I won't underline it. I've given up. I've got to put some marks in it to say, I've got to read that. My attention has got to be drawn to that again and again. And boy, did I put some marks in my Bible. And the marks are about the things that God does. He takes the initiative. He sends his son. He's the one that has worked in our hearts so that we could even have faith in him. He's the one that pours out his love into our hearts so that we can be then people who love one another. Because he says, because I've heard about your faith in Jesus Christ. How can they have faith in Jesus Christ? Because God has been at work in their lives. How can they have love for all the saints? Because God has poured his love into their hearts. And that changes how people live. I was out with Bart the other day visiting somebody that we've got to know, that William made contact with many years ago. I suppose it is a few years ago now. Not many years ago. But and this lady has tremendously appreciated the love and care that you've shown to her. And she was desperate to pay for the oil that we put in her tractor. Now William knows who I'm talking about. Because the oil actually runs out of a tractor where it shouldn't, and we need to maybe organise some people who can maybe fix it, I don't know. But she wanted to pay for the oil. And there's a fine line between the kind of the dignity of allowing people to do things like that and the generosity that you as a church are showing to people. And it's just lovely hearing Bart say, you know, there's just a lot of lovely people at Lakes Entrance Baptist Church that can't come out here and build fences, but they can do stuff that means that we can give you the oil. And I've heard William say things like that, but I've heard Bart say things like that a fair bit. There's love that you have for people because God has poured his love into your hearts. And it's exciting to be part of that. And it shows up at Youth Dimension. It shows up at Blues Moose because God has poured his love into your hearts. So you guys have got something that you want to share. Lynn and I went down there the other night and, I thought the grey beard and I'm not commenting about the colour of Lynn's hair, but she confessed to that. We thought, we don't look that young anymore. Perhaps we're not adding to the vibe here. They were very gracious to us. Said, no, it's good, it's good. We just thought it was better just to walk around the block and pray and play our part in that way. But God's love compels us to do something.
Hallelujah.
And these guys have actually paid to come to do mission in our town. And I'm grateful for that. But God's love has been poured out into your lives. So you've got something to give. And I wonder whether we step into 2023 realizing what we've got to give. Or do we just step into 2023 and we go, oh no, we just hope it's going to be a good year, you know, hope it's not going to be too hard. I hope we step into 2023 with a sense of mission. Because God puts every single one of us in places where we can engage people and they can see your life. They can see the things that God has done in you. And if you would read and read and reread this first part, you would say, oh gee, God has done that. I've got faith, I've got love, I've got hope. I've got this word of truth, the gospel, that has come to me. Wow. I'm not making this up, I'm just reading it. All over the world, this gospel is producing fruit and it's growing. Well, that's true. We're right on the other side of the world. It's been doing that for 2,000 years. It's not going to stop. It's just as been doing among you since the day you heard about it and you understood God's grace in all its truth. We've just sung a 250-year-old song about God's grace. And some of the truth that is there contained. In verse 7, it talks about who they learned it from, Epaphras. And it might be that your name goes in there somewhere. Not in here, but in someone's life. I learned about Jesus because as a neighbour, they lived beside me. And their kindness and their concern and their love. And I don't know what it was about them. But I'm encountering people that are noticing you. And are blessed by your kindness. And are questioning what makes you tick. Isn't that good? You're living questionable lives. And people are wondering what makes you tick. Well, what makes you tick is the fact that the Holy Spirit has worked in your life, has revealed the fact that God loves you and would save you. And the Spirit of God, you've got hope because the Spirit of God has poured out his love into your hearts. That's what it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. That we can have an undisappointable faith. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his Spirit into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You've got something that you can share. Something amazing, something wonderful. And then it speaks again about the place of prayer. For this reason, ever since I heard about you, I've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. See, that's not you getting the knowledge of his will. That's God revealing the knowledge of his will to you through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Isn't that an amazing thing that God would do? My encouragement is you open his word and you start looking. You open his word and expect to learn and to grow and be impressed by the knowledge of his will. And you will grow in spiritual understanding. I pray that be a reality in 2023. And we pray this in order that you may live a life that's worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God and being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to God the Father who has qualified you. See, this is God. God does this, God does this, God does this, God does this. I pray that you would rest in the fact that God is working in your life and you just need to cooperate. one of the things I think we need to step into as we look at 2023 and we realize that God has a heart for the lost. In fact, that heaven is heavily invested in their salvation. Heaven is as heavily invested in their salvation as heaven is invested in yours. You know, when you repented and when you accepted the fact that you needed a Savior and you said, Lord, I would ask you to come and forgive me, and I would want to just turn from the direction that I've been going, and I would want to follow you, Lord Jesus. I need you to be my Savior. When that happened, there was a party in heaven over you being saved. Heaven is still heavily invested in people's salvation. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. I pray that we never forget that. I pray that Jesus, as head of his church, that we know the heartbeat of Christ in us still to that end. Because it's God who gives us the qualification to share in the inheritance of the saint. This is not our doing. Because it's he, in verse 13, who rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Now, I think that's an amazing thing. I think that's something that ought to hit us with a sense of wonder, with gratitude. And I don't know whether for you today, do you say, yes, today, I am grateful for God's mission, for Jesus' mission with me, that he has brought me to himself. I'm grateful that God is actually working things out and I'm on mission with him. Because Paul clearly lived with that sense of mission. He never lost sight of that fact. And Jesus himself was completely unshakable with his sense of mission and his sense of purpose. Jesus knew exactly what it would take to save us, as he pointed to when he was speaking with Nicodemus. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. When Jesus' closest friends, when Jesus, in a sense, his best mate, gets alongside him, and after Jesus had declared again that he would go to Jerusalem, that he would there be crucified, and that the third day would rise again, you know, Peter takes him aside and, no, Lord, you shouldn't talk like that. No, this will never happen to you. Jesus could not be dissuaded even by his best mate, by his closest friends, who at that stage didn't understand why he came. You know, as we read, and I encourage you, if you, as this year unfolds, if you don't know where to go in the scriptures, then turn again to Colossians chapter 1 and read and read and read slowly through, and let the truth of what is here touch your heart deeply. Read in verse 15 and see just how great your Savior is and how wonderful, how supreme he is. Let your heart be impressed that once you were a person that was alienated and that you didn't belong. Once you were alienated from God and you were enemies because of your minds, because of your evil behavior. But listen to this, but in verse 23, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical death, by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. That's an amazing thing. An enemy, an outsider, an alienated person like me gets reconciled by God. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. That's amazing. To be holy in the sight of a holy God because of Jesus. Without blemish, without spot. And free from accusation. Don't you think that's amazing? I think the Lord has in mind to step us into something that is more than we could ever imagine. I believe that Jesus' mission with me in 2023, Jesus' mission with you, with us together in 2023, I believe it's a glorious story. I believe it's a gracious story. It's a story of redemption. It's a story of forgiveness. As I said, it's a story where the alienated are reconciled. It's a story where the messed up, where the unclean, where the lost cause is actually restored. We're presented as being made right before God. It's an unfolding, ongoing, more than you expect story. And it's one that I hope that you would be freshly impressed by. I want to jump to verse 27 and finish there. So really, you must read the verses in between. I've just jumped to a few of them, but you must read it personally and reflect and ask God to help you to understand and be responsive to that. But here it says in verse 27 something wonderful, which I think is very applicable to us. It says, to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. To them, well, that was to the outsiders. That was to the Gentiles. Well, that's us. You know, most of us, probably very few of us have actually Jewish or Hebrew origin. But God has chosen to make known among us the glorious riches of a thing that would be a mystery to us had he not done that. And this is an amazing thing. These glorious riches are just extravagant. They're a generosity that is impossible to define. And it's a mystery that I could not come up with or I could not work out by myself. And that's this, that Christ would live in me. That Christ would live in you. And that you can live with a certainty, an assurance of glory. Now it would be easy for us to probably jump to the conclusion that the hope of glory would mean the hope of heaven. But actually it actually doesn't directly refer to heaven. It actually directly refers to a life that is so radically changed that your life in Christ, my life in Christ, our life with Christ in us actually reflects something of Jesus. The glorious life of Christ in us. And I wonder as we step into 2023, we might actually think afresh at the fact 2023 with Jesus in me. With Jesus working out his mission, his purposes in me. With Jesus at work in such a way that there the divine value of my spoiled humanity, where I had fallen short of the glory of God, where that's restored by God's grace, where something actually that's good and something that's really beautifully good is done in you and in me. This is God's doing, not mine. Where something that is honorable, something that is of renown, something that is reflects even the splendor of God shows up again in humankind. The glorious likeness of Jesus. See, this is what Paul is so excited about, but not just Paul. We see the Apostle Peter say a similar thing in the first chapter of his second letter, where he tells us that we can actually participate in the divine nature. Now, as I said, I couldn't come up with this. this is too great a story for me to concoct. But this is what God's word says. And I would pray that we would be ones who would take God at his word and say, Lord, I thank you that you came to seek and to save that which lost. I thank you that you pursued that which was messed up. I thank you that you rescued me when I was under the domination of darkness. And you've brought me into the sun, into the light, into the kingdom of the Son that you love. And you've redeemed me. I sold myself off, but you redeemed me. You brought me back. I couldn't forgive myself, but you forgave me. And you've made me without spot or blemish and free from accusation. All because of your grace. All because of undeserved favor, not because I've tried hard or you've tried hard or because you've been reading your Bible every day this year or every day last year. No, because God is gracious to you. And he wants to see the likeness of his Son in you. That's the most glorifying thing. That's the greatest, most worshipful thing that can happen. The likeness of Jesus showing up in the people that he has redeemed.